Hello, this is Bixby. Welcome to the Bixby Developers Chat Podcast. Here is your host, Roger Kibbe.
Hello, Bixby Developer Chat Podcast listeners. This is my podcast discussion with Armel Boudry of Treble FM. Just a little side note, there were a few audio issues during recording. I've tried to fix most of them, but be patient. I think you'll find the conversation exciting and interesting. Hello, Bixby Developer Chat listeners. I hope everyone is doing well in these challenging times. Today, I have the honor of talking with Armel Boudry of Treble FM. Armel and I have known each other for quite a while. We always have very in-depth conversations when we see each other. So I thought he'd be an amazing guest for the podcast. Armel, why don't you introduce yourself?
Thanks, Roger. Hi, my name is Armel. I'm the CEO and founder of Treble. And what we do is that we help people stay informed on topics that matter to them the most by listening to what we call shortcasts. So I'm sure people are wondering, what is a shortcast? Well, a shortcast is a very short podcast, usually 2 to 3 minutes, sometimes 4. It's usually, for people that are familiar with Amazon Alexa, it's very similar to flash briefing. So with Treble, we make it easy for people to listen to those shortcasts every day as an easy and quick way to stay informed through our mobile app. We have a mobile app on Android, iOS, but also through our voice apps. So it'll be available through Alexa, Google Assistant, and of course, Samsung Bixby. So yeah, that's in a nutshell. And for people that also want to create shortcasts, we make it easy for anybody that has something to say to create your own shortcast through our web platform. And so through our platform, you can create your own, record your own shortcast with no technical experience, and we help you distribute everywhere people can listen to it.
Great, Armel. I am a big fan of Treble FM and everything you do. I'd love to go back to kind of the history of Treble FM. Can you tell me about your idea and what you founded and how it's evolved to today?
Yeah, I mean, it's a long story, so I'll try to go ahead with the short version of it. So actually, before working on Treble, I was actually working on a music platform. And it was a platform for people that wanted to be both music influencers that wanted to share music. But the interesting thing with the platform is that you had a way for people that were sharing the music to add little voice message with the music as a way to personalize what he was sharing with people. And so I had this guy from Florida that reached out. I don't know where he found out about the platform. He said, hey, I really like the platform. But I was wondering, have you guys thought of bringing this to Alexa? And also, have you thought of just making it, you know, generic and not just being related to music? And at the time, I thought it was really interesting. I wasn't really familiar really with Amazon Alexa also because I was living in Canada. And in Canada, it wasn't yet really available. But what I thought was interesting was that, you know, even working with the music platform I was working on, I always thought of the ability to allow people to use the platform for other things other than just music. But, you know, it was interesting for me to have someone reaching out and wanted more than just music. Anyway, I started looking into the voice ecosystem, what was available. And I thought it was really interesting because I thought it was kind of like a new world where everything that already exists couldn't naturally just directly exist. So for example, you couldn't take YouTube and put it there. You couldn't take like Twitter and put it there. It was just its own world. And what I thought was fascinating with that new world is the fact that it was kind of like an audio first world, right? So like the main, you know, what other ecosystems that existed before, there was always like a visual component to it first. And with this new world, it seems like everything was audio first before even the screen came along. So yeah, that kind of pushed me to look into it more. And that's how I think the real first version of Digital Treble was actually a mix of music and audio. And it kind of evolved because people wanted, and then I realized there were actually a lot of people that actually wanted an easy tool to be able to record just plain audio and share their voice. So the platform kind of really morphed to be, instead of being just a music-centric product, to be an audio product. And, you know, create a skill for Alexa, create a Google Action, as we call it, and, you know, create a Bixby capsule as well when it was available. And, you know, from that, I guess things just kind of evolved from being from a music platform to a audio voice app, and then even now to just being a mobile app as well. Because the Uma app actually came later in the cycle, because what I realized was that there were people that wanted to access the content, but maybe didn't really jump into voice yet, but they wanted to have the ability to listen to those shortcasts and be able to inform that way. So that's actually a little bit how the mobile app came to the picture. So now it's pretty much, I guess, everywhere.
Wow. So you're really a pioneer, I'd say, in short form audio, because I don't know, how long ago did you start Treble?
I guess there's a long answer and there's a short answer. The short answer is it's about 2 years ago, but I've been thinking about audio, I'll tell you, for about like 6-7 years, actually.
Got it.
So it's been a long time coming, I'll say, but really been focusing on it for the past 2 years.
Yeah, and I think when I say you're a pioneer is obviously many people are aware of Alexa's flash briefings as kind of a short-form audio delivery mechanism. But to my mind, what Treble FM does is it democratizes access to short-form audio. So whether you just are using an app or on the web or any of the voice assistants, you can get to it. You're really bringing short-form audio or shortcasts, as you call them, to the world. Anyone who wants to listen to them, if they have a mobile device or a voice assistant, can listen to them. But I did want to understand, so when you said you started with music, was it you listen to the music and then you could put an audio comment around the music?
So the way it worked, I'll tell you a little bit how it used to work. The way it worked is if you were a music influencer, let's say a blogger, you know, someone that's really known in the music industry, you had this kind of smart playlist and a Chrome extension. So every time you go on a website, you see a song that you like, or maybe you're on Spotify or any platform, you could easily add that song to your smart playlist. But when you were adding the music, you had first the ability to create songs to kind of tell people how you like the song, to have the algorithm play music in your station. But the interesting thing, like I said, was that once you're adding the music in your station, you can actually talk to the listeners about the music. So one thing that's interesting with music is that it's art, so it's subjective, right? So you might listen to something you don't really like, but maybe you hear the story behind it, or maybe the story behind the person or why it was created, and then it kind of adds to the piece of art. So the audio piece came to help the influencer kind of bring the context around the music. And so once the influencer adding music to the station, they're actually able to add those little audio pieces. They used to call castles, but I guess talking to Bixby. So now, as a listener, when you coming to someone, to an influencer station, when you press play, you're getting to listen to the audio, the music, but also the capsule. So the capsule, the audio recording used to play before the piece of music. So for example, I say, hey, I just heard Terry Fisher, is a big drummer. Actually, apparently this is one of his first songs. And then you hear the music after. So that's actually how I used to play. Then you were able to share the music or the audio recording or both, and you know, like some, you can also comment manually on it. But it was really the audio piece was really the voice recording was really a piece to augment the music, but also listeners had the ability to actually send audio messages as well to the influencer, really to tell them and kind of have conversation.
Interesting. You know, I agree with you that when you understand what the artist was trying to do, or the context in which they created art, whether it be music or painting or any kind of art form, it becomes much more fascinating and interesting. So now, does Treble still do that, or have you completely pivoted now to only shortcasts?
It completely pivoted to shortcasts. Also, you might find some kind of, it's like bones here and there from the music, which are actually really, really useful. For example, right now on Treble, when you record a shortcast, you can pick background audio that you want to have with your recording. So do that kind of someone's the early days kind of piece of the platform where you able to easily add audio to your recording. But now it's fully Treble is fully focused on generic audio or shortcast. And I've liked some of the things. I was stopping myself to talk when you were talking about audio and shortcast and where I think things are going when you were talking. Because I think with Treble, whether it be was the music or even now with shortcast, it's always been about people democratizing audio and just making sure that people are able to listen and create and also listen to audio, but more specifically short form audio content. Because I think today it's pretty clear that, you know, a lot of people listen to podcasts very popular, actually recording one. But I think there's just this power with short form audio, which is very different than podcast and long form audio. And I think with travel, I've always had the vision to kind of help the power of short form audio really.
That's great. Where did you get the name Treble? Is it from music?
It comes from music, I guess. That's yeah. That's probably the biggest piece that comes from the music part, just the word treble. I was looking for something that was really simple, but that actually kind of mean music. But I wanted to have it, you know, a simple name that, you know, resonates with people, very simple to pronounce, that you can even use in a sentence, but also in the case thing kind of evolve. And you just maybe being, you know, something other than the music, kind of still have the same essence. I guess it kind of worked out at the end of the day.
Hey, Armel, can I back up a little bit? You introduced yourself, but I know I'm talking to you. You're in Ottawa, Canada right now, but I do not believe you're originally Canadian. Where did you grow up?
That's true. So I'm originally from Cameroon, Central Africa. So I grew up there. I actually came to Canada in 2005, actually. And I came because to actually do my study university, software engineering. So I was a software engineer here in Ottawa. But I grew up in Cameroon, spent, I guess, all my high school, middle school, pretty much everything there. So it's a great country, very diverse, I'll say. And yeah, so I've grew up there. My parents, you know, they came here now with a little bit before the COVID, but they still live there. They spend, you know, 5 to 6 months there. I was there, I think, 2 years ago, maybe three, I can't remember, but 2-3 years ago. But yeah, so I grew up there and then came to Canada to do my undergrad. I loved the country, started doing a master there, and it's kind of never left since.
Got it. You know, my list of places I need to visit grows longer and longer, and exploring Africa is high in that. And now I'm going to have to add Cameroon to the list. So I may be hitting Cameroon. You up for places to in a few years when we're all past this COVID.
Travel again.
Hey, I just wanted to get back to Shortcasts. You have this platform. You've seen a lot of people do things with Shortcasts, short form audio. And I know there's a bunch of people, potentially some listeners, who are interested in doing their own short form audio. For people who haven't got it started, what advice would you give them?
I think the best advice I can give someone that wants to start a shortcast is really to think of the listener, the people that will be listening to what you do, and why they'll be listening to it. Unfortunately, in this day and age, I feel like a lot of people more think about fame and how, you know, how many people can potentially listen. And you don't spend enough time thinking of why they actually be listening. So I think the first question to ask yourself is, what is the value that this content is going to bring to people? And once you have the answer to that question, I think everything else becomes easier, right? So especially if you want to create shortcuts specifically, what you also want to think of is, you know, how can the content that I create can add value to people? And how can it even add value on a regular, on a daily basis? Right, so if you can create your shortcast around an idea or have a format where you can add value to people's life on a daily basis, then you're going to have a successful shortcast. Not only it's going to be easier to promote, it's going to be easier to create, and you're honestly not going to run out of ideas just because you have a clear vision of how this is helping people. Right. So, and ideally, it's not required, but I want to make sure that you can help people not just on a short term, on a long term. I'll give an example. Like if you were to create a shortcast today to help people with COVID, it would be good. But, you know, after COVID, then people will be listening to it. But if you create something, for example, to help people, you know, cope with any stress that they might have on a regular basis, it turns out what part of the biggest stress they have today is COVID. So you'll be talking about COVID, but when COVID passes, then you can actually still continue with the shortcast, because you'll be covering other things other than COVID, as long as it has to do with, you know, stress on a daily basis. So really think of, you know, like I said, what the content, you know, how is the content that you create help people? Ideally, make sure you can help them on a regular basis. And on the third thing, just make sure it has like a longer, it can sustain on a longer, you know, time period than, you know, a month or two.
Yeah, you know, your advice is so spot on. It really echoes. I've had two previous guests. One, Adrian Simple, does the Gaming Observer, who I believe is on your platform.
Yeah.
And I just interviewed Julie Daniel Davis, who does voice and education in kind of a short form, 6, 7, 8 minute short casts. And both of them said, do something that you're passionate about that you think people would love. Not about fame. Absolutely. It's not about money. Go do something that you love. And your passion will come through and people will listen. And if fame and money comes along, great. But if you start with that as the goal, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
If you start with something people are going to love and you are passionate about, you're going to have fun doing it. You're going to continue doing it.
Yeah, I would add a little bit to that as well. I totally agree with the passion part. Because I think it's probably the key part. I guess the reason they probably mentioned it, because it's probably the only thing I'll tell you that would motivate you to keep going when maybe things are not working. But like I said, just to kind of complement to what they've said earlier, that I think if you marry the passion and you think of, you know, what can I bring to the table? If I give an example, let's say I like gaming. So maybe not Adrian, but I like gaming as well. And I think, okay, you know, Adrian's already doing, you know, gaming news. So if I just come in and do maybe gaming news, maybe I'll be kind of competing with Adrian at the Gaming Observer. So that necessarily wouldn't add to the table, but I also love gaming. So maybe I'll think, hey, what else can I bring to the, what else can I add that Adrian's not doing? How can I, just like Adrian, help other people? Right. So I think when you combine the passion and you really think through what can you add to people's life, because people have all types of needs, right? So it honestly, you really just you just need to take a little bit of time to take a step back and think of what can you add. And usually when you have the passion, what this allows you to do is kind of have the empathy that you actually need to understand what other people maybe just like you already also need. And that's kind of sometimes how it works out, right? So I think if I recall Adrian's story, he felt like they needed to be, you know, something to help, you know, people that are gamers to kind of know what's going on. Because probably that's a need that he felt himself. And you really just kind of try, because of the passion, try to step in to fill that need. I think when you nail that need part, that value part, I think everything else, honestly, you can figure out.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. So you've talked about a little bit about this, but what about people who already have a short cast or something that's doing pretty well? And I'll ask, I always kind of praise this question. How do you go from good to great?
Yeah. So...
Go ahead.
I'll try to give my 2 cents here. And again, just my opinion. But I think that the way to take it to the next level, you already have the short cast, is to really think of if you already have an advantage that you want to take advantage of, which is you have people that are listening to you. They're listening to you, that means you deliver them value. And you just want to listen to them. Listen to them and ask them, what else can you bring to the table? Wow. And if you have a conversation with them, either through a survey, you know, maybe just ask people to send you questions, talk to people, even reach out yourself directly to some people that you can reach out that listen to your show and ask them why they can add more value. And if you have that conversation, I guarantee you 90-95% of the time, you'll find out there is more that they want, right? And just kind of go from that, right? So just leverage, because if you already have a show, your biggest clue, your biggest advantage of people that are listening. No people outside, people that are listening, and you want to just talk to them. I'll give you an example. For example, what you want to maybe find out is, how did they discover the show? Do they know other people that will be interested by the show? And maybe start thinking of how can those people that are very similar to those people that already listen to your show can hear about you. So first, I think the talk to the people that listen to the show to understand who they are, right? The moment you've understood better who they are and maybe why they listen to your show, because most of the time, you being the creator, you might have a broad idea of why people listen to your show. But when you talk to those people, you probably really understand the clear context of why they listen to the show. And I think once you have that clear understanding, also understand who they are, your next step, probably your best guess, is to actually say, hey, I understand who are listening to my show now, why they listen to the show. How can I find more people like them and translate to those people when I find them the value that I've been bringing to those people, because they probably have similar values. I think that would be the next thing I'll suggest someone to do that already has a short cast, is to grow your audience by learning more about without listening to your show, and you know, trying to find more people like that. And now you can also go deep diving, like I said earlier, by you know, talking to people already listening to your show and figure out what else can you bring to them. So it might not be a shortcast, it might be, you know, might be a video, you know, maybe taking example of Adrian again, could be, you know, maybe having, you know, showcasing a game, playing a game once every month. So I guess I'll be more like diving more into the people that already listen to your show and seeing what else can you offer, maybe not in the show, but any other auxiliary, you know, product. So.
Great advice. Yeah. You're saying listen to your listeners.
Yeah. Listen to your you listeners. Know? And yeah.
I mean, it's kind of marketing 101. Yeah. Is one of the things is who are your existing customers or listeners and what do they like about you? And then amplify that and see how that can get more viral and they can become your own marketers and pass it on. And what else would they like to see? I mean, this is all really practical advice, but I think people sometimes forget about it. And your listeners are your lifeblood. If this is your shortcast, they're what makes it happen.
That's true.
Hey, I want to pivot a little bit. We are in a technology mm-hmm. podcast. So I want to ask you a few yeah. technology questions and sure. correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you've done a fair amount of the development for Treble FM. So I'm wondering if you could tell me a little bit about, we all know that you have in the App Store and the Play Store and then for the voice assistants. What about the back end of Treble FM? What can you tell me about the tech that runs the back end?
So Treble is running mainly on an OGS server. It has a few pieces. I think it's running right now. It's running on Heroku. Hopefully nobody goes hacked here. But it also works. So it runs the data store on an S3 container. So the audio store on an S3 container. So it's running Amazon S3. What else? So it also has some Python script running to post-process the audio. So it has like a Play server talking. So there's a Play server talking to an audio server, which working with Amazon S3 and also some post-processing as well, actually handled by Ophonix, like a platform that does a bunch of post-processing stuff as well. So actually that's a good clue for people that are using Treble. Now, people don't know because it's not advertised, but if you actually record audio to Treble, your audio get automatically processed for free, which actually a service you actually have to pay to get on.
Awesome. Yes, Ophonic, actually, I use it for this podcast. Ophonic, it's a great service. It makes it so easy, and it just, your audio all of a sudden leveling, and they'll reduce noise. That's great. So you can just directly record, and you actually do the leveling and that. And so whatever you record is going to sound even better because you're running it through a service like that.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Armel, but you did a bunch of the development for this, right? Or you're not only the CEO, but kind of the senior engineer for Treble.
I'm the senior engineer writing most of the code. That's correct.
Got it. Hey, I want to talk about Bixby and technology. So fairly recently, you released a Bixby client. What can you tell me about your experiences developing for Bixby?
Yeah, I'll give you the short version because you're on the podcast. But I'll be a little bit transparent here. So when I've heard of Bixby, already develop something for Amazon and Google. But at first I was a little bit afraid because I was thinking, okay, this is another platform, another assistant. It's going to be a lot of work, maybe not necessarily that much reward. But I think someone from the team reached out and I said, you know what, I'm going to look into it more. So I started looking at the documentation. It's a bit frightening especially if you use like maybe more simple ecosystem. But as I took the time to dig through, I realized, wow, this is really amazing. From a technical standpoint, someone that's really technical, as I was reading through the documentation and seeing how the platform was built, I realized that some of the complexity that you see from outside is actually part of the power that makes the actual system more powerful, right? And honestly, that really what got me at first really developed, actually kind of really deep into Bixby, because I thought like the way the platform was architected, it had all the real backbone of the true assistant. What I mean by a true assistant is really an assistant that can, you know, understand what the person that's talking to the assistant is saying, but also really properly leverage what the assistant has available to answer the questions any really the Bixby platform I really had. Like the architecture was just brilliant, honestly. Like that, I remember I don't usually tweet. I'm not like a tweet person. I usually kind of more like reading tweets, but I actually tweeted about it because I was really amazed, and that really got me going to Bixby and kind of really investing more on the platform, because I just believe it had the true backbone of an assistant. So I developed the first version of the assistant, of the capsule, the travel capsule, and you know, this year we kind of improve it with the second version of it. And also quite honestly, the team at Bixby, not to do any comparison, although I kind of have to do by saying that I couldn't compare to other dev team that I've worked with, just because you got to really, really engage and really just like a high touch point with developers, just kind of making sure things are running smoothly, always here to help, kind of really taking the time to work with developers and really understanding what is their business, what they're trying to achieve, and making sure that the Bixby platform can really open the doors and make sure that to support the developers. And also maybe just kind of going around those lines, one thing, the second, probably the third thing that also attracted me was that kind of mentality of building an assistant that was relying on the fact that you will have to work with third-party developers to kind of solve the problem of a true assistant. And I can see in the design from the get-go that was not just saying that it wasn't just the Bixby team saying it, but I can see in the design, right? So the one thing that kind of struck me, because I worked with other assistants, was the fact that with the Bixby assistant, it was built by default to be an open, true platform that really works with the third-party ecosystem to answer questions. And there wasn't that kind of first-tier and second-tier citizen kind of relationship with developers. And that's honestly, again, another thing that really kind of told me, hey, there's more to be more invested in this platform, because I think it really has the true backbone of an assistant. I mean, I can continue on and on, but I think those are probably the three main reasons that got me really got started.
Well, thank you.
And honestly, I'm really happy with how things have been going so far.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Armel. Obviously, music to our ears. But, you know, I think a lot of what you see in that architecture and what you built is reflective of Adam Shire. He was the founder of Siri. So he did kind of round one of voice assistants. And then Viv Labs, which is the brains behind Bixby, is really gen two of voice assistants and trying to be really easy to... Well, easy is not the right word. Power. I think you said it right. At first, it seems complicated, but then you realize it's very powerful in a way to put things together and build an assistant that's truly useful. I think Adam's vision is that assistants do far more than the kind of bark commands at mode that we're in right now. And I think you see some of that in the architecture as kind of enabling and unlocking those capabilities.
If you can allow me to add more a little bit on that subject. I think the way, maybe if I have to kind of give a visual representation, for people that do mobile development, you see some tools out there that allow you to build an app. But it's like a drag and drop tool, and you can build an app. Those tools are usually pretty cool because you can build an app very quickly. But most of the time, you can't really build a very functional and useful app, right? Because it's built on certain premises, so it's very limited. And once you allow you to do something very easily, you can't really do something spectacularly useful. Now, on the other side, in mobile development, you have native development, right? You have to write a little bit more code. You know, you have to know how the platform works, whether you do Android or iOS. But the value of that is because you're kind of so close to the ground, most of the architecture of the platform allows you to do more and create more interesting solution that can solve very, very interesting problem as well, and really interact with the user, allow the user to interact the way it should. And I think if I want to transpose that I kind of try to use an analogy here with Bixby, and see what I saw in Bixby was that I felt like I was really using a tool, and the architecture was really built to help me build really powerful and useful application. And because I felt like maybe with some of the other tools that it kind of maybe was more built to kind of do maybe drag and drop, so really easy, but not as powerful.
Good. Well, thank you. I think those will be music to the ears of many of our people working internally, and they'd love to hear that. But I think that's a really good description. Hey, I want to jump back to Treble again and tell me more about on the business side. So what is your business model for Treble? How do you make money?
So it's a good question. That's the question with investor. So the way Treble makes money is by allowing people that listen to content to get more of the content. So since the beginning of Treble, I never really believed in, I guess, charging people for creating content. And the reasoning behind it, honestly, is just because I felt like first it would limit people that maybe wanted to experiment. But the second thing is really just because I believe that for someone to pay for a service, they need to kind of find value. And I felt like the best way to have a sustainable long-term platform was to have everybody working on the platform, especially people that create to be creating content on the platform to be aligned with them. So that's what the platform is free. And what the way the platform makes money is by allowing the people creating the content to make money as well. So a good analogy I can take is maybe think of a platform like YouTube. When you look at YouTube, you don't pay to upload videos. But if you ever make money with those videos, then YouTube take a cut of it. I think Treble is taking a very similar approach where we want to allow people to create the audio. And if that audio has any monetary impact in the world, and we want to help those creators have a monetary, generate revenue from that content, then we're only just taking a percentage of that content. That's actually, in a nutshell, how Treble makes money. Now, I should say 2D Treble is not making any revenue yet, but that's the plan in the future to actually generate money. So just being aligned with the creators and help them generate money. If they generate money, that means people, whatever content they're creating to the platform is really truly valuable, and for people to pay for it somewhere, some shape and form, and then we're just kind of helping with that equation.
Yeah, that's great. And I know you have a very generous free tier that lets people really create some things. And I think if you go and correct me, go and actually I've tried it out, and it's super easy to make a recording. I can never release anything. Maybe I need to start a shortcast. Although I don't know if I can. I like to talk too much for a shortcast, but I think it's really generous. And then it allows across all the Treble platforms. And then I also believe you have something that makes it really easy to enable an Alexa flash briefing in your platform as well. So that's really powerful. It sounds like your idea is if you're starting to make money or have enough of an audience for your shortcast, then it's going to start charging you. That makes sense. Is this your future business model? Is your business model going to evolve?
We always have this purpose of making sure that we can support creators, make sure we can allow them to create content, make sure we reach as many people as possible. But if we want to have them also generate money from their content, right? As long as we want to build all the necessary tools that can allow them to generate money from their content and allow them as much as possible to focus on their content, because that's really where the true. That's the only part that Treble will never be able to do is create content for them. But we want to be able to build all these tools that can help them either make it easy for them to create a content or generate money from that content with any possible automation that we could. We want to be able to maybe monetize that experience. And the way we're thinking of doing that, I'll give you an example. I'm going to take again Adrian Simple from the Gaming Observer as an example. Let's say you're listening to a shortcast on gaming, and Adrian is mentioning that there's a new Warcraft game coming out this week. He, for example, might put a link to purchase the game, maybe an affiliate link to purchase the game. And you as the listener, you might say, hey, I really like this game. You know what? I should sign up to pre-order the game now. And if you could say to your assistant, literally using on Bixby, say, hey, Bixby, I would like to purchase the new game that Adrian was mentioning. And Treble will understand your request and follow up and purchase the game for you. And it'll probably only take to Adrian to just put the link, the affiliate link, and Treble will understand that, hey, this affiliate link here is an affiliate link from Amazon or any other platform, and we'll build the entire pipe to understand the payment, and that way Adrian is making money through his content. And Treble's helping him making money through this affiliate link, and maybe just take a percentage of it. So like I've tried to mention, they'll be exploring, certainly will be making money through creators, but also allowing listener to dive into the content. So for example, let's say, just to go and take another example here, you know, maybe you're having a show, right? So you're an artist, or maybe taking the music example, for example, you're talking about an artist that has a show next week coming near you, and the host of the shortcast is mentioning the show. They might have a link to an Eventbrite ticket for you to purchase to attend the show. And you as a listener, if you're interested, you may say, hey, I'd love to purchase a ticket for that show coming up next week. And then you can just say, and then by you just saying that, then Travel will take care of the intent, answer the query, make the purchase on your behalf, and we'll be probably just collecting a small percentage of that that transaction.
You know, that's great. You know, Armel, I think there's such an opportunity there in what you talk about. And I think you're a real thought leader around that. So if you're interested, contact Armel around this, because I think Armel and I have talked about this at length, about how to monetize and what to do with short form audio. And you probably could spend an entire hour talking about just that. But I think you're just in such a great position, being such a pioneer in shortcast and thinking about this, and to go and find a way to monetize that, because that's where the industry, it has to go beyond ads. And I think you're right, some interactivity, where there's some commerce added or something, interest or premium content. Yeah. There's just so many things there that can be done. But I do want to switch gears, and I want to talk back about Bixby. And one of the things that's happening, well, right now, you can develop and deploy to a Samsung phones from the S8 beyond. But right now you can develop for the watch, the smart refrigerator, and the TV. And later this year, we'll open a marketplace. So if you have a Samsung watch or a Samsung fridge, or we're the world's largest TV manufacturer, you have a Samsung TV, you can experience Bixby on those. What of those devices gets you excited?
So I'll talk from a travel perspective, and then I'll talk from like a generic, just like a Bixby perspective. I think from a travel perspective, I think the watch is really interesting, just because of the, you know, someone has a watch, I'm just thinking, you know, a lot of people go running, or, you know, maybe driving, just being able to access audio on demand. Maybe you have like the Galaxy Buds, and then, you know, you can just access the audio, but you don't necessarily need your phone. I think it's really powerful. Maybe one thing that we haven't talked on the podcast, maybe I'll kind of briefly touch to it, maybe that's why I think it's interesting, is that I feel like one thing that people are battling with, initially without knowing, is this concept of information overload. And I think in this day and age, I think people are getting maybe too much information that they can actually process. And that can be very overwhelming. It can be very stressful. And I think, you know, especially when you look at COVID, you can kind of see it, right? So you get, you know, everywhere, you look, you hear, listen, you know, this COVID is everywhere. And that can be very overwhelming. And you actually, as a human, we actually don't need much. You just need, you know, most of the time, you just need to know enough to be good to go. But, you know, with this day and age, there's content everywhere. But I think, you know, well, that's also just coming back to even the voice question you asked me earlier about the future of voice. I think, you know, what I think is interesting, that with voice, you kind of have this ability to kind of help people kind of take a step back from that information overload and kind of fight it a little bit more. With travel, I think with shortcast, that's also been part of the motivation behind the platform, is allowing people to be able to I guess, filter through the noise. Right, because let's say, unfortunately, with platforms like Twitter, Facebook, and a bunch of other platforms, I think one of the challenges that, unfortunately, those platforms are kind of architected for you to spend as much time as possible there, which means that, you know, when you go on the platform, you have to consume more content than you probably need, which is not a good thing. And I think with Treble, it's a different paradigm, because we're thinking, how can we help you spend less time on the platform but get exactly what you need, right? So I'm really happy. I would be worried if I see someone spending 2 hours on travel, because I'm probably wondering, like, you know, what's going on? Why are they spending so much time, right? The goal with travel is kind of help people get what they need in the shortest amount of time possible, right? And in one way, and we do that very is by first the format shortcast, because very short, you know, people don't get more than what they actually need to get. And they have the ability to kind of dive in if they did more, but they can make that choice if they need to, and they're not really forced to do that. But also, for example, on the platform, when you sign up, you actually get to choose first the outlet that you actually want to listen to. And that's a conscious decision, because it's forcing you to make a conscious choice of what you actually care about the most, right? So you come on the platform, you say, I want to listen to this from this person, I want to listen to this from that person, and you're kind of creating what you're most interested by. That first kind of step is really important, because it allows you to take a conscious decision on what is the thing that's important to you. Now, I feel like I'm going to go back to your question initially. One thing that I thought was exciting is the watch, just because the small screen of the watch, you know, might allow people to maybe kind of stay a little bit away from their phone and not have to rely on the phone as much. And by having the watch, they have this device that they can use to kind of still stay connected, get the information that they need without to have to rely on the screen. Because the problem with the screen is that it has a kind of snowball effect, because the screen is very small. And it's like the phone screen, but there's a lot of data, a lot of information. So you keep scrolling. So although the screen is small, you can also get a lot of content. So you end up spending more time than you should. And I'm excited about the watch, because I feel like the watch always had this potential to kind of allow the people to kind of, you know, take a step back from the screen. Right? So that's personally the one that maybe from a travel and Bixby perspective, I'm more excited by. But I feel like from a Bixby perspective, in general, I think I'm really excited by the TV. I think it'll be easy to understand why. I think, you know, it's fair to say Samsung is the biggest manufacturer of TVs. I think there's a lot of application for voice when it comes to TV. So I just feel like Bixby is very well positioned to kind of enable, you know, with the architecture, with the power of Bixby, to be able to enable a lot of interactions that just didn't exist before, that would, you know, go through the TV. And especially now when you see, I feel like with COVID, probably post-COVID season, I feel like people are going to stay probably more at home, more do things in the house. And I think you need to have different experiences. And what better channel than a large screen in your house to be able to do more interaction, and, you know, whether it be a call, whether it be like a game. So I think there's a lot more that Bixby can offer. So I'm really excited about Bixby being fully available on TVs.
Great. You know, I think you have a tagline for Treble. What did you say? Get what you need in the shortest time possible. That could be your marketing tagline.
That's a great tagline, because that's really what it is about. Yeah.
You know, and I think you're so spot on about how often you go, oh, I got to check something on the web. And then 45 minutes later, I'm still on my computer or on my phone. And I love the idea of, I want some information, I want it quickly, but I don't want to be distracted. And so I think that's a big enabling thing, the voice. I love the idea of shortcasts. I think you're right about the watch is inherently small screen. You're not going to get probably as pulled in.
And if you think about it, if you allow me to add a little bit to that, I just kind of go along with the idea that, as you know, when you look at, I use Twitter, so no shame here on Twitter, but you know, if you look at a platform like Twitter, for example, you know, the feed, the reason I go on Twitter is because I know there's information there that I need, right? It's like if I don't go on Twitter, I probably will be missing some information. At the same time, unfortunately, there's information that I want to know, but I don't necessarily need, but it's there. Now, because the feed is not like maybe it doesn't have a specific order, so Twitter decide how what you see, what the order of the tweets that you see, you don't get to decide what you need to see. So you have to kind of scroll a fair bit to make sure that you've most likely got you what you actually need to know. And I think, unfortunately, that's kind of like a problem, because you know, I can only imagine, that's why I think travel can really help people, because I can only imagine how you use travel to get information that you need. So what I think is interesting is, you know, if you were spending 20 minutes on Twitter scrolling through, now what I think where travel can come in is that you can spend 10 minutes on travel, but and you get exactly what you need. So you know when you leave travel that you, there's nothing here that you don't need to know, right? But then you have now 10 minutes that you can allocate to knowing things that, you know, you might want to know that you might not necessarily need, but now you're going to spend those 10 minutes more effectively, right? So you went to him because you could have scrolled for 20 minutes, but you actually didn't get what you need.
Got it. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's in Twitter's interest to feed you in bite-sized pieces till you finally get the meal you want. The information, I think what you're saying is a platform like Trouble, I get that whole meal in 10 minutes, not in 30 minutes, because I'm not relying upon you seeing so much advertising. I think that's spot on.
I was just saying, then you have another 20 minutes that you can put into other content.
Hey, speaking about voice, and I'll just say voice and short form audio, over the next year or so, what are you excited about? What would you like to see the industry do over the next year?
I think maybe from a travel perspective, what I would love to see the voice industry do is that have Bixby involved, because I think Bixby is already doing that, but I think it will be just for the voice ecosystem in general. It's just allowing third-party developers to be able to play on the same level field as a first-party developer. I think what Bixby have launched this year, what was, I think, the natural language categories, I forgot what was the name.
Yeah,
Which really allow the developer to be able to, I guess, answer those kind of first 30-party questions from the user really effectively at scale. I think it's really powerful, and I hope more voice ecosystem replicate that as some kind of version of it, because I think it's really important to make sure that, you know, third party developers can really, you know, work in kind of first party settings. I think Bixby is doing that, but I would love to see more of that. Now, I think even something that I think might be that I would love to see from any platform in general is just, you know, continue to work with developers, close with third-party developers to, you know, to make sure that the ecosystem can grow. I think, you know, it's a good thing for the voice ecosystem to support developers and also work with them to maybe answer some of the requests that, you know, end user might have. I think, unfortunately, some voice assistant might have the go-to-market strategy to say, hey, let's work with the Uber or the Lyft because they want to piggyback on the distribution channel to bring people to the assistant. But I don't think it might be, I personally don't think it might be a really powerful strategy because people don't necessarily see the assistant as they should. They kind of see it more as a add-on to the Uber experience and you kind of really make it difficult to establish the assistant in their life. But I think if some of those, you know, voice assistant platform were to work more with developers, they might be able to uncover use cases, you know, that will be maybe native to voice, and they can work with the developers to kind of help solve those problems by leveraging voice. I think it's going to be very difficult for the voice industry to establish themselves in the day-to-day life if they tend to solve problems that are already solved, right? Or kind of add to the experience, right? So like nobody's buying, nobody's, you know, using a phone because when people used to buy phones, at least they first need to buy, they first were buying phone because phone were allowing them to make calls. But there were also a few use cases that phone allow you to do that just kind of justify, you know, you kind of, you know, purchasing a $300-$500 phone, which at the time, you know, spending $500 for a phone used to be like, you know, it was a big question mark. But you need to uncover those use cases to really kind of allow normal day-to-day people to really adopt an assistant in their life. And for that, you need, and it most likely will be use cases that probably not already solved or poorly solved with other technologies. And I think the best way for those platforms to uncover those is to really invest into open up the developer ecosystem, closely work with developers to, you know, and pay attention to the data that come from those developers to uncover those use cases. And once you uncover those use cases, double down on them. Got right? It. I'm a little bit sad to say that, but the story that I see for most of those the voice manufacturers, I don't know what name to use them, but the voice platform to kind of go for the bigger industries. And I think yesterday I just say, hey, we're going to tap into the distribution channel, the install user base, to bring awareness to our assistant. But, you know, I'm pretty sure in like a year or two, they'll see it's not really working. They'll have to figure out something else. And I think that solution will be third-party developers, right? So I think, you know, working with developers is important. I think for third-party developers, maybe what I would love to see is just having, you know, developers really thinking the same thing I've mentioned, which is how can their product, their voice interaction, their voice app can really benefit real people on a day-to-day, whether it be timely or, but it really has to add value in people's life. I mentioned earlier with Treble, you know, helping fight this concept of information overload. That's one of the things that kind of really motivated me to keep going, because I can really clearly see how Treble can help solve that problem better than with Void, better than any other platform that existed before. And I think for developers, it's really important when you're developing your voice experience to really think of how is what you're doing with your voice experience helping, you know, kind of solve a problem or really kind of adding to people's life in a way that voice wasn't before.
You know, I think we haven't gotten in the voice industry to the point where mobile got where there was whole companies being formed. If you think about Twitter and Facebook, they really grew up because of mobile. And then you think about game studios, and the one that everyone always talks about is Rovio, that didn't exist until they started building for mobile. So what's going to happen in the voice world where there's kind of voice, I'll call it voice first companies that arise, and voice was the unlock for that company to go big and grow. And I think that needs to happen, and that will change things. Hey, broadening that time horizon, say out to like 5 or even 10 years, you choose the time frame. Where's voice? Where's Shortcast going to be in the further future, or where would you like them to be?
I think 5, 10 years from now, I'd love to see. I mean, that's probably obvious. I would love to see voice everywhere. But I think I would love to see voice have found its place in people's lives, right? Just like today, we see smartphone over time have found their places, right? So I've mentioned earlier how maybe when you're buying the phone, maybe because you want to have the ability to check your email easily or have access to a browser in your hand. That by itself wasn't necessarily going to completely change your life, you know. But over time, I think mobile has found its place in our lives, right? So people know clearly today what to use a smartphone for, and you know what is the best time to use a smartphone. When is a good time to use a laptop or just talk to someone. So I think what I would love to see in 5 to 10 years that voice has found its place. I want to echo what you said earlier, that I don't think voice have clearly found its place. It's obviously a journey, but the first thing I would love to see that it just found its place. Like mm-hmm. it just kind of has its natural ecosystem where, you know, people know this is the best time to use a system. This is not the best time to use a system. This is the best time to interact maybe with the interface and the keyboard, and just maybe use a drag and drop or like an app. So I would love just for voice have found its place. And I think, yeah, it might be a very generic wish, but I think it encompasses a lot, right? Because I think if phone mm-hmm. Found its place, you see a lot of businesses around voice. You see a lot of, you know, use cases covered, very strong use cases that voice is solving. You'll see developers, entire companies, you know, living our voice ecosystem. And you see voice being actually just doing good in the world. If voice have found its place, then all those things naturally comes with it.
Got it. Yeah, you know, it points to such a growth opportunity for voice. You know, I used to say it's, you know, the first inning of a 9-inning game. And now I say, well, we're in the second inning, but now it's a doubleheader. The game. Yeah. So much
opportunity. I think also just maybe to add to some of the two questions you've asked me earlier, is I think voice probably has a lot of possibilities. I think people really need to think out of the box. You know, I'm just thinking, I'm from Cameroon. You know, there's a lot of people that use phones there. And, you know, the, you know, having a voice experience, I think, could do a lot of good there. Just when it comes to like not necessarily have, you know, to interact with the app. And for example, there, data is not necessarily cheap as here. You know, people don't have like the best smartphones. So I'm sure on voice, but I think they mentioned a little sometime about, you know, talking to about feature phones. So there's a lot of things. I think there's a lot of use cases that I think voice can solve. And, you know, I just, it would be good to just kind of have those, some of those kind of use cases evolve and come out. And, but like I said, you know, if it would be good if voice can find its place in the next 5 to 10 years. And that's why I think it's important. We all have something to play in this story, right? So whether it be the platform, the developers, you know, we're all playing something to it. So although I'm making the wish, I think it's all up to each of us to kind of, you know, contribute to that by doing the best of our job, the best job that we can do.
Great. Yeah, completely agree. And voice needs to find its place. That's another good marketing line. Hey, Armel, I'd love to hear, you listen to a lot of shortcasts. Mm-hmm. What's a couple of your favorites that you really like?
Yeah, so those are really personal. So I'm not sure it applies to everybody, but I'll share them anyway. So one thing that I listen to every day is this thing called Pod News. So for people that are in the podcast industry, is the guy that runs this, his name is James Quitlin. So basically what he does with this pod shortcast is that he gives you news that are happening every day in the podcasting industry. So personally for me, for someone that's in the audio industry, podcasting, shortcasting, it's a vital thing to know what's happening in the industry. So every day it's like, it's the first thing that plays for me. Then I have a few news from Canada. So I listen to Radio Canada, which is kind of like a French version, kind of like NPR, Canadian in French. One thing that I really like that I listen to as well is called Hashtag Trending. Actually, Canadian. It's pretty good. I think they do like three, four minutes. But I listen to it every day because it gives me a good overview of what's happening into technology space. So it's pretty, pretty good. I would strongly recommend it for anybody who just want to know what's happening in technology, and very accurate, very well produced. And just, you know, like if you listen to Hashtag Trending, you probably know everything that you need to know in technology every day. Another one that I like is more kind of like a meditation site. It's called The Daily Refresh. It's about two, I think it's 2 minutes. And it's from Johnny Dumas, The Daily Refresh. And what he does is that every day he gives you a quote, like an inspirational quote, like something that you do to kind of improve your life better, kind of like a motivational kind of thing. And then he has like a breathing exercise that he does as well every single day. So he's really good. Johnny Dumas, he's a very popular podcaster as well. So everybody that knows him, they recognize it. The Daily Refresh is a good one. And there's a bunch of them actually. There's Today's Health Tip, Hero. Today's Health Tip. It's pretty good.
Great.
So those are a few of my favorite. There's another one that I like, I should mention. It's called 30 Second Money Tip. It just give a lot of good tips on how to manage money. So for all the millennials out there, people that have maybe a little challenge managing your money, I really, really just listen to him. It's Nick True with the 30 Second Money Tips. Pretty good. So those are a few of my favorite. I listen to those people every day. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hey, so Armel, if people would like to keep in contact with you and or what Treble FM is doing, what's the best way to do so?
So to get in touch with me, I think you can reach out on Twitter. You know, you can email me at armelbaudry@treble.fm. So if you want to stay in touch with what Treble is doing, you can follow Treble on Twitter. You know, the best way to really know what Treble is doing is just to download the app and go on the website. I'll try the Bixby Castle. Things are good. It'll give you a good understanding of what Treble is. And yeah, I think, you know, download the app, enable the Treble Capsule on Bixby or follow Treble on Twitter.
Great. Hey, Armel, thank you. You know, you and I have had such great conversations offline about where the future of voice and where short form audio can go. And that's why I was so excited to have you on the podcast. I love hearing your vision about where these things can go. So thank you very, very much. And if you're a listener, go check out Treble FM right away. It's really an amazing platform, whether you're a listener to that content or you want to create content, go check it out. and help fulfill this great vision for where all this stuff can go. So thank you very much, Armel.
Thanks, Roger, for having me. It was a pleasure. Like you said, we had a bunch of conversations before. I remember you when we had Project Voice, you mentioned that maybe you would do a podcast episode. So it's great to finally have this thing done. And you know, it was a pleasure chatting.
Well, thank you. And that's all, folks. Till next time, this is Roger Kibbe of the Bixby Developers Chat podcast signing off.